Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Blakey's Booth Room, the number one Cardiff City podcast, brought to you by Wales Online.
Hello and welcome to Blakey's Booth Room, the Cardiff City podcast in association with Giovanni's Restaurants. I'm your host, Glenn Williams, and I am joined as ever by Nathan Blake and Paul Abandonato. Happy New Year to you both, gents.
Happy New Year, bud.
And to everybody else.
How's our Christmas periods? You have a nice Christmas, Blakey?
I had a fantastic Christmas, yeah, to be fair.
What did Santa bring?
Brandy.
Nice of him.
And more brandy. Nah, I had some nice presents off the wife, kids home from university. So, yeah, really nice time. Quiet, you know. New Year spent with friends, and then went home about 2 and got had a skin full of brandy again, and then had to be up for the New Year's trip to
London.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure, we'll come on to yourself. Paul, yeah. Did you have a nice Christmas?
Fabulous Christmas, fabulous. Particularly Christmas Day and Boxing Day.
Brilliant. Well, first pod of the year. Today we'll be covering, obviously, Cardiff's Christmas form. Then we'll be moving on to the January transfer period and some rumblings of discontent maybe in the Cardiff City fan base towards Neil Harris and the team as a whole. Then we'll be previewing the South Wales derby where Ian Mitchell, the Swansea City correspondent, will be joining us when we finish with... Don't say that when he's in here.
I'm really joking.
Finishing with some Ask Blakey. So let's kick it off then with the Christmas period for Cardiff City. It's been an indifferent one, I would say, to say the least. Started with a bit of a bore draw against Millwall on Boxing Day.
Yeah.
Bit of a tricky one, that, wasn't it? Tough one to watch.
Yeah, it was hard to watch. It's still early for me to be able to say to Neil Harris or say what Neil Harris is trying to achieve. All right. Now, I've heard him many times now speaking about this thing about 25 crosses or shots or something like that, all that nonsense. I always think that's just a nonsense because if you come up against a quality defensive team and you get, you know, 4 shots and 2 on target, you take it if you win 1-0, do you know what I mean? So those sort of stats. But going up against his old team, there was so much involved in it. And, you know, you have to say the equaliser... It was a special strike. It's as simple as
Jed
that.
Jed Wallace.
Yeah, it was an absolutely terrific strike. Mm. I was commentating. I thought he was going to clip it in the far post. I didn't think he'd have the audacity to shoot from the distance he did. But he did. Superb goal. But it's just, you know, I never cane managers. What I try and do is just try and decipher what they're trying to do and where they're trying to go with it. And whilst we have a bit more possession of the ball, I wouldn't say we have we're like, you know, tearing down any trees or anything like that. We've still got some way to go, but it's going to be interesting to see whether, with the quality of player, Neil Harris can develop this side into a better footballing team than what he did at Millwall with the resources he had there. Because no doubt, player for player, and the size of the squad was 35, 40 players. And then before you even get to the 23s and 18s, you've got so much to choose from. The question is, down to coaching, can you develop this team into a more exciting team? Because I think that is something that's lacking. Someone said to me over New Year, the reason why... The the team in 93 which got promoted, which I played in, why it's so revered is because you played football. It was exciting, fast, flowing. Don't care if it was third division stroke, second division.
Mm.
The football we played was exciting. And I think that's what we're lacking. You believe, before your time, Glenn, but you think of players like Stan, like Pike, like Dale, like Griffiths, like Richardson, like Miller, you know, the Blake. Kind of goals you would see, right? The kind of goals you would see, and, you know, Robbie James, you know, Kevin Ratcliffe, you know, he played, Mark Hazelwood, we had some proper players. So, unfortunately, I think we're stuck in the... It's not just the Neil Warnock era. I don't think fans have seen exciting football at Cardiff for arguably a decade.
Well, we'll come on to...
Two promotions, but neither of those promotions were you thinking, what a team.
Mm.
What a team that is.
I'm sure we'll go into Harrison to a bit more depth in the second part. Paul, the Christmas period, the results here, I'll just wheel them off. 1-1 against Millwall, 2-1 Sheffield Wednesday, 6-1 QPR, 2-2 Carlisle. That is a real mixed bag, isn't it? Completely inconsistent performances over there.
It perfectly demonstrates or illustrates Cardiff's season, Glenn, doesn't it, Blakey?
Yeah, absolutely.
Complete inconsistency.
Absolutely.
The win at Sheffield at Hillsborough was fantastic.
Yeah.
Against the side, I think they were fourth at the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Big crowd over Christmas and all that. And they went there, Cardiff went there and did a number on them. But, you know, Millwall was a game to forget. I just think that the QPR game on New Year's Day, in hindsight, and I had people pointing this out to me on social media immediately afterwards, and they're right, in hindsight, that was coming.
Yeah, I've said it.
Cardiff beat QPR 3-0 at home, Blakey. Mm. They could have lost that 3-0 quite easily.
Yeah.
That
Glenn and I were sat next to each other that game.
It was a freak result.
Yeah,
Cardiff were 2-0 up in that game. Yeah. Like,
how many times have we said, Glenn, how did we win that?
Yeah.
So I tweeted immediately after that game, and I thought about it and still pressed the button because I mean it. That is the worst Cardiff performance I've seen this century, Blakey.
Wow.
So we're talking about 20 years now, mm-hmm. Yeah? It is. It was defensively shambolic. It lacked cohesiveness as a team, which we've said has been the case, the gaps between the team. It just, you know, we talk about the gaps between the team were too big, you know, that all came to the fore in that game. There was obviously no cutting edge as a result. There was no pace in the team. And I just think all the problems came to a head in that one game. And I just hope it's a watershed moment. I really do. Well, and it's not. Look, you expect that inconsistency from here on in as well, because I hope Neil Harris deals with the clear issues that came out in that game. Doesn't treat it as a one-off, Blakey.
No, because right? The performances have lent themselves to that coming. I've been saying it for a while. Sooner or later, someone's going to take their chances.
So why I said this is the worst of the century is, you know, Cardiff lost 6-0 at Preston. But that was a Preston team that got into the playoffs, yeah? QPR are nothing special. They're not going to be in the top eight this season.
No.
You know, it was a truly woeful performance. And it needs to, you know, I'm hoping that a boil was lanced in that game. I really am. And that Harris has looked at areas and realised, yes, you know, the team does need to be more compact. We do need to have pacier players in there. We do need to...
Can I say this though, Paul, right? For me, there were managerial errors.
Yeah.
Right? One, you play in a deep defensive block.
Yeah.
If you play a deep defensive block with no pace for the counter,
yeah,
you finish before you started,
yeah.
Really and truly, right? Because you're not going to get out, right? Not enough aggression, first 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah.
No.
Too passive, right? Running alongside people instead of running in and through people. Far too passive. And to me, playing Tomlin on the right of a three, you cannot do, mate.
Criminal, isn't it?
You cannot
do. I agree
with that. If you wanna get the best out of Lee Tomlin, right, and you're gonna play him in that position, you've got to play like an extra man in midfield. You've got to take Hoylett and drop him into, or take a midfield and drop him into a midfield position. because you're so unbalanced, right? And you know, it's no point saying, oh, well, Tomlin's got to work harder. Tomlin is not going to give you that. And you know that before you set up, right? You know what each player is capable of. So you play to your team's strengths. To me, that was, I sat there and watched it. And I just thought to myself, this is not only a poor performance by players, but a poor selection and a poor setup right from the get-go.
But what concerns me then a bit further than that, Blake, is I was looking at an article Glenn did on Sunday about Harris talking about Callum Patterson can play as another option on the wing because of Nathaniel Mendes-Lang's injury. Callum Patterson can't play on the wing. Callum Patterson has a lot of strengths. He's tigerish, he's strong in the tackle, he's a good header of the ball, he has an eye for goal. We've seen that when he plays centre-forward. He doesn't take a backward step, but isn't going to drop his shoulder and go past a man. He isn't going to show Usain Bolt pace to go to the byline and cross the ball. So I don't know where Neil Harris is coming from when he says Patterson can play on the wing. He's
giving himself a problem by saying that.
It's not fair on Patterson.
Whenever he's brought him on the wing.
And I can understand in the closing 8 minutes of a game, if he comes on in the 82nd minute and Cardiff for a goal up, I can understand going on in that position to close the game out, if you like. But
because he's effectively a right back.
With Mendes-Lang out now for the season, Cardiff desperately needs to go and buy a winger who can create. But what we can maybe come on to that in a moment. So
the 6-1 saw Harris revert to a back five. Do we think there is an experiment now that will be kiboshed?
Well, it mate, if you play the right person now.
Do you know, I think the three centre-backs were the right... Or is the midfield that was the problem?
Right, the midfield... And yeah. It's not just the midfield, the front three. You can't get out. Plus you're playing Saul in there, right? Saul, whether you like it or not, because he came on for like 20 minutes, what was it, half hour at Wednesday?
Was he 50 minutes. He came 50 on after minutes 40 minutes.
And done well.
Mm.
You think that, okay, he's ready to go. But experience should tell you, right, don't bite at that, right? He's come on and done well. Let me kind of rest him up. And maybe, you know, the Carlisle game, give him a 90 minutes against easier opposition. And because, you know, he's 33, 34, he's coming back off injury. So you've got to almost resist the urge and the temptation to see that performance at Sheffield Wednesday and go, I'm going to back-to-back him, right? And 60 minutes and then 90 minutes. Well, I mean, he was gone after half-time. The first ball... For the first goal, you have to say Eze's pass is like phenomenal. I didn't give it enough credit when I seen it first time. It's phenomenal. However, it's the type of pass that Saul should have been stretching for. And I think if he was fully fit and fully sharp, he would have been stretching for at worst and just flicked on and put it out for a corner. Right? You could tell the second goal when he lobs it over, the lad lobs it over, I think it might have been Eze again, lobs it over like, puts his foot and lobbed it over two players, and one of them Saul. But Saul's not expecting that, right? So his sharpness, especially after playing best part of 50 minutes, isn't going to be up to scratch, right? So these are things like you sit and you deliberate and deliberate and you deliberate to death, right? After training, going into a game in 2 days' time, you sit down and you rip it apart, you put it together, you rip it apart, you put it together. You don't stop talking about it. And to me, it was almost too easy to say, because at one moment, Neil Harris is saying, right, he's not ready. Then he comes in, does brilliant, and then he starts.
Yeah, and starts the FA Cup game.
Right, and I'm like, you know, the FA Cup game, I accept. That gives you a little bit of space in between to recover. Think the age of the boy. I mean, you can't just be, you know, rolling him back in. If he's not ready, and you admittedly saying he's not ready, how is he ready a couple of days later? I don't get it. Do you know what I mean? So to me, there was mistakes, innocent mistakes, though it may be. But to me, there was too many mistakes, not just on the field by players, but also by right from the get-go, from the setup. As soon as I seen the setup, I thought, back five, okay. It's supposed to be a back three, I think, but it looked like a back five.
Yeah,
playing deep, we were very passive, not getting wide in, lack of aggression, and then all of a sudden,
No pace.
No counter attack. Oh well, how are we going to get out? So, I would say, or my mum would say to me, rest her soul, you brought that on yourself, Nate.
Mm. Well, then we come on to the FA Cup game, which was a real opportunity to get fans back on side, with, you know, start with a little bit of a cup run, get some confidence into some of the players who haven't been playing, and then they go 2 goals behind at half time. Paul, what do you make of that FA Cup game?
I'm not sure it really matters, Glenn, to be honest with you. I think, you know, it's the league. Cardiff have got to start making a charge back up that league. They're not going to win the FA Cup. I know it'd be nice to get a run together. The cup record in recent years, very recent years, has been woeful for a side with a proud cup record this century. But they'll go to Carlisle and they'll probably win that reasonably comfortably, to be honest with you, Glenn. They'll be in the next round. I think, is it Reading away?
Or Blackpool.
Yeah.
They're more confident than I am.
I am. I just...
I don't think... I'm telling you now, and this, anyone who's at the game, you were at the game, right, Glenn? Mm-hmm. You were at the game, Paul?
No.
Right, so anyone who's at the game would have seen Carlisle, I think they're 4 from bottom, League 2.
Yeah, it was 57 league places between the two teams.
At times, have the ball to the keeper, gone over the top, a back pass, they pass it to each other, out from the back, through midfield and out. On numerous occasions. Carlisle. Right? Now, my point is, if a League 2 team who's at the bottom, near the bottom of League 2, can come and do that on your home soil, I ask the question, why can't you? It's as simple as that. Why can't you, and why haven't you, developed the team and a squad, right, that is capable of doing what I deem the bare minimum? Well, get the ball, run with the ball, pass the ball.
We know the answer to that, Blakey, because Neil Warnock didn't want that style, and these players are ingrained in a Route 1 approach, aren't they? And, you know, Neil Harris's Millwall team also adopted a Route 1 approach, so I think we know the answer to that.
Yeah, but the knock-on effect is, it's the reason why you got 5,000 fans in your stadium, and the reason why you're getting fans who are fed up of watching what they've been watching for a long time. So you can either ignore the white elephant in the room and crack on like everything's rosy, or you can confront it and deal with the situation. Regardless of what you say, me personally, I say confront it and deal with it. Simple as that. They need to improve the way they play. They have to.
Okay, well that's...
Would say they have improved from the Warnock.
They have.
They have, but it's still...
It's not saying much.
Not, well, it's not enough, because the problem is your centre-halves give balls away frequently when they're passing into midfield. Where they're not used and confident to pass it into that midfield man, you'll see a lot of balls like Flint will try and chip a little dinky one and it's not high enough, or Jermaine Morrison will give the ball away. The only one really who can slot a ball through that central midfield is Bamba. That's where he's played in a sixth position before, but Nelson is not a ball player. So, you know, you've got to think to yourself, well, can these players do it? And I always say, well, you've got to show confidence in your players. And the more you do it in training, the more it just becomes habitual, as simple as that.
Okay, well, that's the end of part one. In part two, we will be discussing the January transfer window and fans' feelings towards Neil Harris. Welcome back to part two. We'll be discussing the sort of disquiet, I guess, towards Neil Harris in recent weeks. Obviously, Paul, the honeymoon period appears to be over now.
Well, it's really over.
Fairly quickly after that sort of hectic festive period. What do you make of the sort of, like I said, the fans' disquiet, I guess, towards Neil Harris at present?
Well, I mean, if you actually look at his record, he's lost, you can look at it two ways. He's lost 2 of 11 games, so he might think he's done pretty well there and doesn't really deserve the flat.
Tough fixture schedule as well.
Drawn 5-1-4, I think.
Fixture schedule. So one, or you could say, well, he's only won 4 of 11 and this squad is better than that. I mean, you can use it whichever way you want. But the bottom line is this, and there's nothing new in saying this, but it might be worth reinforcing or re-emphasising the point that he was not a universally popular appointment amongst the fan base. And it was always, you know, however, as the manager of Cardiff City, it was time for everybody to rally around him, as it would have been whoever got that job. But it was always on the premise that because he was not going to get much of a honeymoon period, it was up to him to deliver pretty much instant results, which is probably a bit unfair, really, given where the team was with their Warnock ball start approach and, you know, the need to evolve and so on. So straight away, though, you know, after Millwall, and this was, you know, really rant home even more after the QPR game and the dreary draw with a team near the bottom of League Two in the FA Cup, that analogies are being made with Russell Slade and his style of football. People are saying the team's going backwards. They don't really have optimism moving forwards. I still think it's early days. I really do. You know, he's only had 11 games, remember. I think he has to be afforded a little bit more latitude than that. But I can understand the concerns, because the football's not been great. And something, I just feel that something needs to change here. And he's the one who has to change it and make the bold decisions, Blakey. He needs to, for me, he needs to drop Aidan Flint.
Mm.
Yeah, it has to start from the back. There has to be more composure from the back. And I think a back four, I know you love Peltier, but I think a back four of Jazz Richards, Morrison, Bamba and Bennett can be encouraged to play that kind of football that you say the team needs, to keep the ball more, to stop it coming back at them all the time and having to defend, and instead impose their own game on the opposition. I think Bamba and Morrison would push pack away from where he drops far
Bamba
too deep.
Bamba certainly would, yeah.
Drops far too deep.
Yeah.
Bamba could get the ball through to Pack higher up the field, who could then thread it through to Tomlin. You know, it just sounds easy in theory. It clearly isn't in practice.
It is.
All right. But so I just think that he needs to start making some bold calls, and I think that is one of them that he needs to do. Morrison and Bamba are a proven combination at this level. Now, I know they're both older than they were 2 years ago. Of course they are. Sol's come back from a bad injury, but I just don't think that the defence has been working at all this season. And I just think something significant needs to change there. That's one thing he could do. I would like to think that would then, because they would play slightly higher up the pitch, that would, and they would potentially keep the ball better, that would bring the compactness to the team that has been missing. And I think he also needs to tell Josh Murphy to get out there and prove that he's worth an £11 million that Cardiff spent on him, because he's a player who does have talent. And so I just think there are things that the manager needs to do to change things around, because at the moment there is disquiet amongst the fans. They don't like the style of football. They don't like the lack of wins. And I'm not saying I feel sorry for Harris. There is no hiding place as Cardiff City manager, unfortunately. As I say, on the face of it, 2 defeats and 11 is a pretty good record.
Good start.
Pretty good record. And he can feel aggrieved at some of the comments coming his way. But I can understand, having watched the team and with the expectation that we were given during the summer and so on, with that, you know, that level of expectation about this squad would be more than good enough to come back up again.
Though.
No, I know, but that was being random.
But it's okay, Neil Warnock saying that. But you know, you can't mug me off, right? Just because you tell me it doesn't make it true. I can see what you're doing. I can see the players you're playing. I can see that the partnerships you're creating. And I'm telling you, this is what I said from day one. If we're lucky, you know, 8th, 10th, round about there. But make no bones about it. This is not a squad that's built to go straight back up.
No, but the problem
was... It's impossible.
The problem came in the summer, Blakey, when they sold Bobby Reid, Bruno Manga and Zahor. They lost three of their better players,
yeah,
right?
But Zahor wasn't playing insignificant. Reid hadn't played insignificant. And who was the third one?
Manga.
Manga. Manga was the stalwart for me, right? Reece could have done
a damn good job
at this level. He could have done, but I think he could have done a damn good job at Premier League level.
Yeah.
But for me, you... When I read the comments of the previous manager letting go Manga, and we wanted to keep him as one of our best, but, you know, we've kind of let him go, sort of thing. I just thought... What the hell kind of language is that? He's your main defender. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying Bruno is like Beckenbauer, but he was our best defender, right? He can play anywhere across the back four, but when he plays centre half, especially in the Premier League later on, you've seen he's really cut out those mistakes out of his game. He's really concentrated. He's really focused. He's really showing leadership qualities. At that point, I'm saying to him, right, make sure you stay, right? And I'm doing everything in my power to make sure he stays. I then find out the boy's still living in hotel living. I mean, people might think, oh, it's insignificant. But I'm telling you, from a player's perspective, it's huge. So if I'm here and my family's here and they're all settled and blah, 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 kids in school, I'm living in a community, I... See you, all right, John, all right, Margaret, and I'm. You feel at home. It becomes your home, right? That is part and parcel of really rooting yourself into a team. He's been here 3 or 4 years.
See, it's really unfortunate for Flint that he's come in as the replacement for Manga. Flint has had some big games for Cardiff, but he's embodied the problems, the inconsistencies this season.
The because problem he's also for Flint really is Flint and Morrison well. Are too much alike. Right, that's been from day one.
But he's played with Nelson more recently and still...
He will get exposed because, I've said from day one, once you go down the channel on him, he's in trouble. And it's the same with Morrison. Once you go take Morrison into the channel, he's in trouble.
So what I'm saying is, can Morrison-Bamba partnership that I feel should come back together again, can that...
Honestly, I would go Nelson song.
Would you?
Yeah, because I think Nelson gives you a bit more athleticism. Well, a lot more athleticism. He's quicker. Mm. He's probably the quickest out of them. He's what Nelson needs to work on is distribution. Other than that, he's a good defender. You know, we'll put a tackle in. We'll put a last-ditch tackle in. He's fairly quick. He's strong. He's good in the air. He's got plenty of attributes. Right, but he needs to be worked upon to polish him up to, and it's simple things, Paul, like, you know, just clipping 10-yard balls, 20-yard balls in training, taking them out the air, taking them on your chest, like finding your pass wide.
I don't think Harris will make these calls, by the way, Glenn. I think Harris will stick with Flint.
I think
he'll probably put Morrison next to him.
Yeah, definitely.
Lee Paltrow will be right back, and Bennett will be there. Bennett or Jazz will be left back. But. You know, and I actually think, I know we'll come on to the Swansea game in a minute, I actually think Cardiff will put in a performance this weekend. I think they will have to deliver in front of their own fans. But
they have to run in for a lot of stick.
What do you make of the criticism of Harris? You think it's too early? Or
I said towards the back end of January, you should start to see his team developing a style of play that he wants to play, right? Because by then you should be like 15 games in. It's a third of the season effectively. Do you know what I mean? So you can't say, oh, you haven't had time. And unfortunately, the world we live in today, you don't get a season to develop. You do get 10, 20 games if you're lucky. So we're starting to see, but I don't think anyone's overly impressed with what they're seeing. You don't look and see it's a move towards a far more,
cohesive team.
Cohesive, destructive. You know, they rip teams apart. They're quicker on the counter attack. They're more solidified defensively. You just think it's. My personal opinion is, if I was marking out a 10 start of the season under Neil Warnock, I'd give it a 2, honestly. And under Harris, I'd give it perhaps a 3.5. Right? What we're not seeing is the 2, 3, up to a 6, a 7, where you start and think, aye, aye, cherry pie. We're going somewhere here. You know, some good ideas, like maybe moving personnel around. You mentioned Murphy a second ago. you know, put him in a 10 position, put instead of Tomlin, away from home. Break with a bit more pace. I don't know. Just, you know, but you've got players that clearly, or a squad to me, where half of the squad probably loved the previous manager and didn't want to see him go, and half were probably, or a third were in love, a third were undecided, and a third were, you know, good riddance. Mm. That's usually the kind of a makeup of a squad, especially when you've got 35, 40 players. So there's a lot of things to consider, but you know, it, effectively, it's not Neil Harris's signings.
Yeah, I was going to go on to that.
That is you cannot. He is trying to build in someone else's house. It's as simple as that.
Well, I do think he's happy with the squad he's inherited, though, Blakey.
Well,
he has to say that, because he can't effectively go public and say, I'm not happy with this squad, because then who are you talking about?
He has hinted that. Two things that have stood out to me from Neil Harris is, on more than one occasion, after they've lost or had a poor draw, he said some of these players can't meet the standards.
I've heard that.
I think 3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
And another thing he said in his programme notes ahead of Carlisle was, the QPR result served as a reality check to the players who were here 2 years ago that they're not the same players as 2 years ago.
Mm.
Which I think was a pretty bold thing to say. And it's
pretty damning, isn't it?
It is,
and
yeah.
Who are you talking about?
Exactly. But I think the thing that he keeps bringing up about people not hitting the standards seems to me that he wants a bit of an overhaul of this squad, and he's perhaps not as happy as he originally said he was with the squad that's at his disposal at the moment.
Well, that's kind of tough luck.
Yeah.
If you walk in saying I'm happy with it, and then 6 weeks later say I'm not happy with it, but you've come on the understanding that there's going to be little or no transfer cash in the January, then you're going to have to make do. You know what I mean? But like I keep saying, you've got a dressing room is so difficult. I think we can sit here and say a lot. We talk a lot. Without the greater understanding of what it's like in a dressing room, right? 25, 30 men, you know, all got egos as big as the earth, right? And like I said, let's say 30 players, let's say 10 of them love Neil Warnock. Nothing Neil Harris does is going to be right as far as they're concerned.
Mm.
Right, depending on who those players are and what power they have in the dressing room, they can cause you major problems, they can cause you minor problems. Right? And I would say, probably looking at the Neil Warnock lovers are probably those who are more experienced and probably have a lot of power in the dressing room. Right? Flip side of that, Neil Harris, it's your job to get those players on your side.
Mm.
Right? If you've got a 2 or 3 year contract and you're a player, there's no point Neil Harris thinking, I'm going to ditch you. There's too many of you. You're outnumbered. Your only way is to, if you're Harris, kind of play nice. Until the owner says to you, right, there's your lump sum of money. Then you can come and start saying, right, slit his throat, he's out. Slit his throat, out you go. I thought you liked me. No, out you go. I like you as a person, but you're not good enough as a player. Out you go. But to say what you're saying, but then have no transfer funds, leaves you totally pickled.
Yeah.
Right? So the statements he's made, saying some of them aren't as good as what they think they are, or some of them aren't as good as what they were 2 years ago, straight away you think, is he talking about me? Right? Anyone's been here 3 seasons, is he talking about me?
Mm.
Anyone who's here in a promotion campaign, is he talking about me? Right. Now, if those players got power and influence in the dressing room, they go nattering, yeah, he's this and he's that, and he's this and he's that. And then you're asking these players to come out and deliver for you on a Saturday. Mate, good luck with that. I'm telling you now, good luck with that. No one's running through a brick wall for you.
Mm.
Right? Because they know, collectively, just like you've seen Arsenal players with Emery, they know collectively, mate, you'll be gone before we are.
Yeah, he seems far more pointed in his words than Warnock was after games, but that's a different point altogether.
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of January transfers, what are the key areas, Paul, you think Cardiff need to recruit in?
Winger.
Yeah.
Because of Mendes. I wouldn't have said that before, because Mendes is a big loss, yeah. I don't doubt Junior Hoylett's class, but he seems to have lost that extra edge that takes him past defenders, certainly going to the byline, that Murphy can offer on the other side if he's given his head. So wingers, preferably, you know, and I think you can still get that sort of that right player on loan. I think Cardiff probably have to pay for it, but you know, Harry Wilson went to Derby last year and did a fabulous job.
Yeah,
you know, and I still remember Neil Warnock saying at the start of the season, asked about, you know, some of the Cardiff fans want to see young Welsh players like Wilson here, and he said, I think that we've got better players in those positions here. And I just thought, no, you haven't. Anyway, that's by the by. Winger, definitely, because that hand has now been forced. Probably cover at fullback, no more than that.
Need a centre back.
I'm inclined to say leave Glatzel alone and let him go for it up top. I just think the midfield's been wrong all season, Blakey. I can't help feeling that a dominant midfielder is still needed, a midfielder with legs and energy and all that, but I still feel that sort of player is required in the team, and I think that sort of player can come on loan. You don't need to spend money for it.
I think
for the right Premier League reserve. You know?
I think our problem has been a similar problem, or we've had the same problem in the positions for an awful long time.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Aside the campaign where we went up, I think two centre-halves, I think the centre-half position has been a problem. I think Saul resolved it, but then coming out doesn't help. And I think in the Premier League season, I would have gone with Manga and Saul rather than Morrison and Saul. I think that would have resolved a lot of issues and gone and got a more attack-minded fullback. So for me, I'd go right down the heart of it, honestly. I'd improve. I'd change the goalkeeper for his kicking, right? Because I want to change the way I want to play. I would probably go try and pick up someone like a Grant at United, sat on the bench.
Do you think Alex Smithies is up to it?
And I'm talking up overhaul now.
Mm-hmm.
I'd goalkeeper, go with someone like Lee Grant. I'd then go into centre-back position. I would really assess Sol and his fitness levels. I would definitely, I'd keep Nelson. I'd look to get another centre-half in there. And then someone who's got athleticism in central midfield and can box to box it and can break, but has a bit of a presence as well. You know, or I go the other way and go with that sort of Bannon, that very creative, make things tick, little Barry Bannon, deep midfield. I get someone like that who's going to help me link, you know, and be that spare cog in midfield. And I agree with Paul. I would definitely be looking for a winger, and I would 100% be looking for a striker. Now, the boys down the road have signed a striker. I think we were calling for on the boot room maybe last season or the season before. Very talented boy, very good movement. Has had a bad injury, managed to come back and is still flying. So I just think we need to change the... I've said it and I'll say it again. I've said it online. I think we want to change the whole culture of the club. Honestly, I think it's Cardiff City, and this is Cardiff City, and this is the capital of Wales. And we've got a duty to deliver a team that is top quality. And until you start thinking that way, at the moment we're jigsaw puzzled, and we've been jigsawed for years.
Mm.
There's no proper planning, there's no foresight. There's I call it finger in the dike football. We sign him, and you know, but the problem keeps coming back. You understand me? So we've been saying for how long, in this modern day era, we need defenders, fullbacks who can defend but can also get forward and help create and start attack. It's where the modern game is, right? In my day, no, Now, yeah.
So I would...
So you've got a lot to overhaul, but remember Neil... Sorry to cut you, Paul, but if you remember, Neil Warnock got the ump with me when I said, like, it's going to take 2 or 3 years to turn this squad over. Probably longer.
But you want 2 centre-backs, a centre-mid, a winger and a striker. This window, you think that would...
If I was...
And a goalkeeper.
And a goalkeeper, sorry.
If I had a... You don't need millions and millions of pounds. It's, can I get this player on loan with a view to signing him? Can I get that player and sign him? Can I get this player and sign him? Can I get that one on loan? Or, you know, is he a free transfer? Or so it's wheel and deal. But it's what I'm trying to build towards rather than... I know I'm not going to build it overnight, but I have to start changing the dynamic of my squad. Right? At the moment, how can I lose Mendes Lang? Murphy's not playing up to where he should be, and that side have got no pace.
I think I'm not convinced Cardiff need another centre back. I just think they perhaps are not picking the right combinations there.
I don't think you realise the importance of that partnership because what happens is, Paul, if I've got two defenders who can go 1v1 with any two strikers, and many teams play one striker, some might play with a 10. What I can do is those two defenders, effectively with a holding midfielder of pack, are a diamond.
Yeah.
Right? So, which allows me then for my fullbacks to be much higher and more creative, which then allows my front three, my two wide players, far more rotation movement across the lines, in behind people, one end up as a striker, two strikers, whatever. It gives me so much more scope. That's a solid, you need that goalkeeper, two centre halves. Hold the midfield. That is a solid. Yeah,
and that's why we were calling regularly on the boot room during the Premier League season for Bamba and Manga.
But Bamba's not up to it at the moment, right? Because he's still got. You know, I don't think you'll see the best of Sol if he played every week. And I wouldn't play him every week at the moment. I'd play him every other or every other game. But I don't think you'll start to see the best of Sol until March. That's if he's playing regularly.
So what I was going to say was, in terms of the goalkeeper, though, and listen, to me, the midfielder you mentioned is the most desperately needed player in that squad, right? But in terms of the goalkeeper, and this is the question I've got for you, you know, I've said before, it used to drive me mad. Well, Neil Etheridge is a fabulous goalkeeper, but everybody, you know, will agree that his distribution is questionable. I'm asking you this, right? Can that not just change with the mindset? And what I mean by that is, you know, it used to drive me mad this season when it's crying out for a quick counter, throw the ball at Joe Bennett, get going at the field because the opposition have attacked or they're caught out at a set piece or whatever. But he gets the ball, bounces it 3 or 4 times, slows down, lets everybody get into position again, then boots it up. They invariably win the header. Pick up the second ball. Consistent pattern all season.
It's kind of a default position.
It's a complete default position. But can that all just change with the mindset change from the manager? Because he's got to change. No, but he can throw it out a lot more, can't he?
Yeah, but it's not his throw out distribution I'm worried about. It's his feet.
Well, you don't see his throw out distribution. That's the reason you're not worried about it.
Well, I know with his feet, he's not got the capability to pass a 30-yard pass.
I think that's probably why he didn't end up going to the Premier League, to be honest. I think maybe the distribution was a key thing.
At the same time, I don't want us to sound like we're digging out. I'm just talking about, I'm taking it from a perspective of what I'm trying to build towards. All right? Now, fans are going to have their opinions left, right and centre. Players will have their opinions left, right and centre, just like we're entitled to an opinion. But I'm saying, like, I'm taking it from the perspective that fans are kind of tired of seeing Cardiff where we've been. And we've been here for a long time. I keep saying to you, Glenn, when's the last time you've seen a 20-goal striker at Cardiff?
Yeah.
You know, these things are like, we're talking like, that is like, so sacred now. 20 goals a season striker, 15 at least, they should be like, pick them off trees.
So it is
dependent upon how you play and what your strategies are going into games and, you know, what personnel you've got to hand. And, you know, so I'm talking about building towards becoming a Premier League solid outfit. not for 5 years, not for 10 years, but a solid outfit. Well, you get to the point where you don't get complacent, but you get to the point where people are not talking about your relegation at the start of this season, start of next season, start of, you know, they're talking more about, is it about time the Cardiff pushed into the European places and blah, 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 blah. That's what I'm talking about.
So I like all that. I think that all makes eminent sense, right? Particularly in the modern game. But and to be fair, you've said all along, before the season started, that other teams play football now and Cardiff's tactics would appear outdated, and that's what's happened. But I got two questions, right? By making the changes that you suggest there, right here, right now, A, are you in effect writing off the top six this season? And B, is Neil Harris the right manager to make those changes?
A, I wrote off the top six since the beginning of the season because I think we'll finish eighth or below.
And B,
right? And B, I don't think, if you look at Neil Harris's past at Millwall, is what I can only judge him on, and say, right, you got better players to hand, but not far, far better. Don't get it twisted. We're not like, you know, Liverpool or anything like that. Our players, squad, you know. It's a decent squad and you can get more out of it, I think. But is he the right man? Listen, I don't know. He's yet to prove himself to me. And I'm not going to say, I can only go on what I've seen so far and what I've seen for the last 4 or 5 years at Millwall. And it's looking like it's a similar thing then to Millwall. So the fact that we've got a higher calibre, quality of player and a bit more money, he's yet to spend any money, so we can't judge that. But it doesn't look like much difference. There wasn't much. Like, okay, Millwall play far more football under
Gary Rowett
than they did under Harris. Mm. And they look a better team for it going forward defensively. They look like they're developing. You could see that, right?
Yeah.
When we watched the game, Cardiff-Millwall, you could see it developing. You could see what Rowett is. They're playing far more football than they did previously. If you go back like two seasons and that, when we went up under Harris and it's totally different.
Mm.
Not totally different, but you can see the progression, what they're trying to do. And when you hear then Rowett speak after the game, yeah, it fits into what I've just seen, right? So, you know, the thing that always worried me about Neil Harris was when I heard they were signing him on the 20 throw-ins, 40 crosses, 50 shots. Listen, if that's, you sit in a boardroom and that's what it takes to win your vote to give this manager an opportunity, you're in the wrong game.
Okay, well, I think that nicely brings us to the end of part two. In part three, we will be previewing the South Wales derby. Welcome back for part three of Blakey's Boot Room, where we are joined by Swansea City correspondent Ian Mitchellmore. How are you doing, Mitch?
Where's the booze?
How are we've already booed you earlier on. Yeah, Blakey booed you and I.
Thanks for having me on, gents. Good to see you all.
That's right, mate.
Looking forward to derby this Sunday, Mitch.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I mean, the last one was the first one I've covered here, and obviously it was the first one since the 2013-14 season. So, the first one in Cardiff. Can't wait.
Paul, it seems to be a bit of a low-key build-up to this one. Would you agree with that?
At the moment, I think that's probably because of Cardiff's form. People say, oh, well, both teams are in poor form, but Swansea are in the top six, you know, so I'm not sure I'd buy that. I think Cardiff's form, I think everything we've discussed previously on this show about the style of football and everything, and the recent Cardiff results have probably taken their toll in that respect, but there's nothing like playing Swansea and Swansea playing Cardiff to whet the appetite.
It'll fire it up, but you know, Swansea fans are not overly joyed with Coops.
Mm.
They don't think their football is what it should be or where it has been in the past. So you've kind of got two sets of fans who are not overly joyed and fully behind their managers, which straight away creates this kind of negative-y kind of atmosphere. However, on the day, it just is Clash of the Titans.
Listen, there's going to be close on 33,000 in that ground. Sunday morning, atmosphere. Yeah. Sky haven't picked this game for no reason.
Yeah.
They know what the atmosphere is like at a Cardiff-Swansea game. They know how highly the passions run. And as per usual, the fans will deliver.
Mitch, would you agree with Blakey's assessment that fans are not overly happy with the football under Cooper at present?
100%. Yeah. It's not what it was under Graham Potter. Let's be honest, it was far better to watch last season than it is now. However, Swansea are a lot better defensively than they were. You know, you look at the recent games, I think Abbo made a good point where Swansea just ticking along nicely. They've had only one league defeat in the last six. They've got 11 points from 18, which is decent form. It's going to keep you up there. You're hence why they've clung on to that sort of sixth spot. Performances haven't been great. The Barnsley game, the last one of 2019, it was just a really miserable way to end what's been a fantastic decade for Swansea. And then the 1-0 win against Charlton, first half they played some of the best football of the season against, you know, admittedly a Charlton team that were missing something like 12 players. Even Lyle Taylor had to go off at half time because he hadn't fully recovered from injury. But then in the second half they just couldn't kill off the game, which has been a problem at times this season, and Charlton came back into it and could have got a point. So it's not been great to watch, but they've been grinding out results, which is something that they didn't always do last season. So which one would you want, playing brilliantly all the time but not always getting the results, or something that's a little less easy on the eye but where you are picking up points even when you don't play well? So I do agree with the assessment, but I think as both Blake and Abbo have said, it goes out the window on Sunday when, you know, that referee blows the whistle.
Bit of a boost for Swansea that they signed Rhian Brewster from Liverpool yesterday. Mm-hmm. Do you think he will feature on Sunday?
Yeah, I think it was timely as well, especially with Sam Surridge going, because aside from Borja, they don't really have many out-and-out options. You know, I know Andre Ayew played up front last time, and I think he was a key figure in Swansea dominating that game against Cardiff at the Liberty, but I don't personally feel that he'll be thrown straight in, Rhian Brewster. I think he might be best suited to coming off the bench, because you know, whoever plays at the back, whether it's Sean Morrison, Sol Bambrey, and Flint for Cardiff, I think their physicality could be a problem for him. You know, he's slight in stature, his physicality could be an issue, and that's where Cardiff probably will have the upper hand. So
yeah, don't get it twisted, he can hold the ball up.
He can hold the ball up.
And a lot of times size matters not when you're holding up the ball, trust me. You know, what it is about your movement and your timing. And my worry is always, well, since I've seen it, me and Paul and myself were speaking earlier, my worry is that his movement can kill Cardiff's two centre halves.
That's the key, isn't it? The movement.
Yeah,
the pace.
I think if I'm a manager, if I'm a player, I'm thinking, right, don't let someone go on and fight with those two for 70 minutes, then bring me on. Put me on from the start, let me run the legs off them, and then last 20, I know that's when defenders tire and I come into my own. So if I'm Cooper, that's the dilemma for me. If I'm Brewster, I'm hoping I start because I want to show what I can do and I want the movement. He's quick, right? And he's got good movement and he can finish the boy. So it's for me, I would be more inclined to be like, give him the game and let's just see. Because he's not going to get a harder game to play in than that.
Yeah, I fully understand that point. The only concern I would have is that he's played 12 minutes of senior football since, what, September? He had that injury in December, came back in the Merseyside derby last weekend, you know, in the last 12 minutes or whatever it was against Everton for Liverpool. Before, you know, he's only made 3 senior appearances in his whole career, so that would be my only concern. If he's fully fit and raring to go, then I don't see that being a problem, but it's just whether he is or not, I suppose.
Paul, from a Cardiff perspective going into this derby, how big of an importance would you place on this game? Because we've been speaking about Neil Harris before, but this is almost an instant way for him to endear himself to fans who are starting to doubt him, maybe.
Well, I've heard Cardiff fans saying that this is win-win for them because they either beat their big rivals or they don't, and Neil Harris could go. That's a very naive attitude because Neil Harris isn't going anywhere. Mm. You know, I mean, the club quite, you know, have got him on a 3-year contract, you know, and he has backing from some senior figures in that boardroom, and rightly so as well, you know, as he's their man. It is a big game for him. Blakey and I often wonder, we always felt this with Dave Jones, who came down from Liverpool. I don't think Neil Warnock got it, despite everything. I hope Neil Harris understands what this derby really means. Steve Cooper certainly did in the last one. Gary Monk did, whereas Ole Gunnar Solskjaer didn't when they played each other. And I hope Harris, who's come down from London, really realises just how intense and how passionate the Cardiff Swansea game is. The football may not be the best on show, but I don't know, there's another derby in the UK, possibly Celtic Rangers aside, where passions run as deeply as they do in this one. What he must say, Neil Warnock made some horrendous tactical errors at the Liberty. He in effect played 4-2-4. He put Glatzel and Ward up front. The one thing you don't do against Swansea, given their history of playing through the midfield, is empty your midfield. And he left Pack and Riles totally exposed to
neither pacey or athletic.
And what that then did was it allowed, I mean, Ayew had a blinder, as Mitch has just said, but what it really did was it allowed their wingers, who Dyer and Routledge, who were brilliant technicians on the ball, always have been, Premier League experience and all that, it really enabled them to control the game, and they just had a field day, both of them. Whereas Cardiff's equivalents, I think it was Mendes and White on the day, were just completely innocuous, as were most of the Cardiff team. He needs to try to, from Cardiff's perspective, Harris needs to do a role reversal there.
They need to dominate the game.
And he needs to make sure that it's Murphy and Hoylett who are on the ball far more than their Swansea counterparts this time. And where the point Mitch made about the centre-backs up against Brewster, I think that can be applied right across the team. You know, I think Cardiff have got to look to their physical presence to try and get their ball players on the ball, if you like, whereas Swansea will look to zip that ball around at pace again, which is something they do under Cooper and have done all season, and certainly did in that game at the Liberty, which they won 1-0, but that was going on 3 or 4-0, to be, if we're perfectly honest with you. I looked at some stats this morning and saw that Cardiff had 43% possession of that game, which shocked me, because thinking back to it, it seemed a lot less than that, you know?
It was just so ineffective with it, that was the biggest concern, wasn't it?
So Cardiff just, they can't make the fundamental tactical errors that were made last time, and they've got to impose their game on Swansea, physically as well as in every other sense, in the way that Swansea imposed their own passing game on Cardiff last time at the Liberty.
I think it's the only way Cardiff win it. They've got to physically dominate the opposition, honestly.
With that in mind.
And unfortunately, that's the default position that was taken from the previous manager.
Mm.
We're going to be big, we're going to be physical. Old school, right? So, okay. So that's your default position. Make sure you bring that to the table, because I'm telling you, players like Tomlin, he can win the game for you. Alright? This is what I think we're forgetting. Players like Tomlin now have been influential, very influential of late. Players like him be really up for the game.
Mm.
Defenders be really up for the game. You know, Hoylett should be really up for the game. And Murphy, I don't know where Murphy's at. Murphy's a very different one. I don't know what's going on with him or whatever, but he just doesn't seem like a happy boy. Far from it, to be honest with you. He doesn't seem like he wants to be out there. You know, he doesn't. He just seems upset constantly. When I see him the other day, he was almost petulant to the point against
Carlisle.
I just thought, what's going on with you? You know.
With that in mind, what team, what 11 would you select? What Cardiff City 11 would you select for Sunday?
Robbie James at right back. honestly, I would go Peltier, Nelson, probably Morrison, and Bennett.
Mm-hmm.
I think the experience and the stature of Bakuna and Pack, when they've played well together, they're probably the best pairing. Then I put your man in the 10 position, Tomlin. And then the front, I'm not sure. That's my dilemma. Glatzel, Ward, I'd probably go with Ward in a game like this, because he would understand the significance more than anybody. And, you know, if not, I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to put not Glatzel, Medin, and just mate, you're going to have to play 11 out of 10 battering ram, right? And then I'll bring on a Ward and run you ragged for the last 20 minutes, something like that. But the tactical has to, it has to be built around physically dominating the opposition, because you're not going to outpass them.
No.
Right? And you're not, you know, we're not an athletic side. We haven't got quick players here, there, and everywhere. So you've got to use and utilise your strength, and our strength is our strength, our prowess. You've got to bring that, but your tactics have to be built around that, you know. And it's not a case of just go out and play. You know, if they've got a short left back, then, you know, cross field pass it a lot, left to right, right to left, whatever. You know, put a winger on him or strike a pull off. Win your headers, put Patterson in a position where he pulls off and, you know, knocks balls down. Put him as the nine if you have to. I don't know, but you're tactical. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. When you're going into that game, use your greatest asset. They've got physical players all over the park. What you haven't got is pace in abundance, and you haven't got, you're not technically going to pass this opposition to death.
Mm.
So,
Mitch, since the last derby, have there been any particular strengths or weaknesses that have come to the fore for Swansea?
I think, well, weaknesses, definitely. The defence has been chopped and changed. I think for the first 8-9 games, they had the same back four with Freddie Woodman. Then Jake Biddle got suspended. Joe Roden got injured. He missed the last derby. He's going to miss this one as well. Mike van der Hoorn's had a couple of injuries lately.
He went
as well.
Off the other night, didn't he?
Yeah, he went off against Charlton.
He looked like he was struggling as well.
Yeah, in the league, sorry, and that was after a problem against
injury,
Brentford,
yeah,
on Boxing Day. So he's an enormous loss. I mean, Joe Roden, everyone knows how talented he is. Anyone who saw him play for Wales as well will know that. But van der Hoorn, you could see instantly that they lost a lot of experience. You know, you're playing Ben Cabangos from the academy, only made his senior debut this season. Ben Wilmot, who's on loan from Watford, obviously the hero last time for Swansea in the game with Liberty, but you know, he's still very inexperienced. So you're talking, you could have two centre backs with a combined age of, was it 38 or 39, which is,
see, so then you would then I would be looking at that thinking, right, play Patterson, play Ward,
that physicality, you mentioned it, that could
play,
be a real problem.
play Glatzel would probably be my last option, right? Because I'm looking to physically dominate. Patterson can get me a goal. Medine can be a battering ram, right? I'm telling him he has to be, right? Or Ward gives you a bit of movement, but he's an aggressive boy. He'll get amongst it as well. So that's what I mean, is taking advantage of the fact you've got two kids playing at centre-back. Don't give them a moment's rest. Do not give them a moment's rest. Be all over them.
I think that's the key. We looked at Brentford when van der Hoorn was injured. Wilmot stepped in and they played as a pair for the first time. And don't get me wrong, Brentford's front three is phenomenal. Mm. The six ahead of the defence is outstanding, as good as I've seen in this league. But they ran riot at times, and Swansea looked a mess at the back. They only lost 3-1 in the end, but trust me, it could have been a lot more than that. As footballers, they're outstanding technically, Wilmot and Cabango. Cabango's really highly rated at Swansea and at Wales, and the 21 international, and you know, he's a potential bolt of the Euro squad. I can't see it, but you never know. But make no mistake, if you get at them, you never know. So I think Blakey's right there to say they've got to be harassed, whether it's Medine or Ward or even Callum Patterson. We know what he can do. So
you skipped over my team. I've given Blakey his head, but I would go. I can see what he's saying about, you know, Peltier, Jazz. You can call that whichever way you want.
I think Jazz's performance at QPR,
yeah,
mate.
Yeah,
I ain't seen a fullback get dealt with like
will,
that for a
it,
long
it will
time.
Be,
tired,
it will
he
be.
He got a good. Did you? Sorry,
yeah,
Paul.
Yeah,
did
yeah,
you
I
see,
did, yeah, but I thought he was excellent at Hillsborough. To be fair to him, but it will be Peltier, whatever, right? I would go Morris and Bamba. I would go back to basics. Yeah, I think it'll be Flint and Nelson, or Flint and Morrison, for what it's worth. Bennett left back. The midfield picks itself because on the basis Riles is not fit.
What if he is fit? Would you play him?
Yeah, probably would, because I think he'd bring more athleticism.
Instead of Pack or Bakuna?
No, I'd play him instead of Bakuna, to be honest with you. But it's
Bakuna
a big ask.
Has more athleticism than Pack.
Yeah, but I just think Pack has this physical presence that you're talking about.
And I thought he was one of the few to perform well for Cardiff in the last time.
And then I'd go Murphy, Tomlin and Hoylett. And I was going to say, if you want to go down that physical route, I think Callum Patterson should go to nine. Because, do you know what? There's an argument for saying Patterson has proven himself more at nine than any other out-and-out nines on the club's books at the moment. I still think Glatzel could just take off because there's a proper footballer in him there.
Mm.
But if you're going down the real physical route, Patterson's the one who won't give those Swansea young centre-backs moments of rest. He will look to bully them and, you know, really get into them, and he will harass to stop them playing out from the back, all that sort of thing, which wasn't happening in the first game. And so, but I don't think he will go down that route, for what it's worth. I think he might go down the Medin route, but it'll probably be Glatzel.
It would probably be Glatzel.
Yeah.
Right, well, just come on quickly then to some Ask Blakey before we make our predictions. So, Jamie Rees asks...
All right, James, Happy New Year.
What's our best centre-back pairing?
Manga and Bamba.
I'll let you have that one.
Difficult to say because we haven't seen them all together, but if all fully fit, I would take a guess that Bamba alongside Nelson would be probably the best, because you know what Sol's organisational skills are like, and I haven't seen that from Morrison. Or I see it to a degree from Morrison, but not in the same stature as Bamba, and I don't see it from Flint.
Friend of the show, Jason Mohammed.
All right, J-Mo.
Asks,
all right,
what's it like scoring in a derby, Blakes, and should we take the day off if City win?
It should be a national holiday. And it's... I can't explain to you.
When did you score a derby?
I scored at Ninian Park in a derby. I think we ended up losing the game, but it was like that moment when you score. I think it was the time when they ripped up, the Swansea fans ripped up the wooden seats, on the Stanley Stand, and the game was delayed and all that.
Grandstand, that was.
Yeah, and you know, like I said to one of the Swansea boys out there, you know that there's thousands of them and they hate you, right? Not so much now. They probably still hate me, but not with the same passion they did before. But I'm from a place... Ely and Cardiff, Ringland and Newport, and listen, bring as many as you want. I'm from that sort of background, so it's come one-on-one and we'll do it. So it was almost like, you want to get to me, but I would love to get to you. So don't get twisted. I don't back down. I don't shy from people like that. I don't get intimidated. So scoring in a derby when the stick they've given you, and often it was so racial, it was terrible, one of the worst places to go or face. It was just those are the days where you'd say, oh, score a goal and give back to them. But I wanted that goal to ram it. You know what I mean? It was that sort of passion. So that's where I'm going. That's how I feel about scoring a goal in a derby. It's a fantastic feeling.
I just think back to a few years ago when Michael Chopper scored a last minute winner, and
I remember that.
Rarely seen Cardiff City Stadium erupt as it did there. I remember at the old Ninian Park, Joe Allen scoring a goal for Swansea that put them 2-1 ahead in front of 1,800 travelling fans, whatever it was that day. Again, you could just see what it meant to them. It's just something else. And this is the point I was trying to make, that I don't think Dave Jones really got what the South Wales derby was about.
Dave Jones didn't.
Not
many managers will.
I'm not sure Neil Warnock really got it, to be honest with you.
Why would you say that is? Because obviously we know he's...
I don't know. I don't know. The one with Warnock baffles me, whereas that day, Steve Cooper, who comes from the Cardiff neck of the woods more than the Swansea neck of the woods, clearly understood exactly what
he's,
it meant
he's
because
grown
he's
up
been
amongst
brought
it.
Up.
But there's what you'll find, Paul... And this is, people can disagree, agree, I'm above it, but I'm telling you. Most English managers I played for would all look at
down
Wales,
on it.
All look at Wales, in inverted commas, and think, well, it's a Mickey Mouse derby, though, isn't it? That's what they would say, sort of thing. It's not Everton, Liverpool.
Yeah.
It's not Man U, Man City. It's not Man U, Liverpool. It's not, and you think to yourself, oh, you just do not understand.
Yeah.
All right, so there's that. There's that. The fact that Cooper is the one that Paul's calling out as the one who did recognise, and he's Welsh, it's no surprise.
But then, and you know, just to take it to another stage, I remember Ole Gunnar Solskjaer taking Cardiff down to the Liberty, and they just, I don't think he got it. Whereas Gary Monk was in charge of Swansea for that game, and although Gary Monk is English, he'd obviously been brought up, you know, been ingrained in
Swansea. Yes, he's brought up to hate the Blues.
Whereas he really got his Swans team up for that game, you know. I think Malky Mackay got it. Maybe it's because of the Glasgow upbringing. I don't know. I think he really got it. You know? But
I can't remember that far back. I'm that old.
So I hope Harris, as I said earlier, I hope Harris doesn't just, you know, well, this is not a patch.
Who's Millwall Cardiff is a big enough derby, right? So, you know, just think back to the worst of Millwall Cardiff when the fans have gone at it and all that. You know, I got friends who are like older than me, 50s now, and you know, Millwall come to town is the only game they come to, just in case, Nate. They say just in case,
in case they need him.
No, just in case.
Next Nate. Question. Guys.
Just in case.
Tim Burns, with the goal shift in Harris's brain, Tim. Is Tomlin's presence an issue? Are the remaining two in midfield having to work harder to protect the defence? It's a good question.
That's a really good question.
Say that again.
With a goal shipped during Harris's reign, is Tomlin's presence an issue? Are the remaining two in midfield having to work harder to protect the defence?
Possibly, but again, it's because you don't... Right, so if you don't have the ball, you're on the back foot more often than not. So you're going to have to work harder. Whereas if you play and you've got more possession of the ball and you're pushing higher up and allowing your full-backs to push into kind of a midfield position... You're outnumbering, right? So it's the process of the game. It's how the game is managed by Cardiff City, effectively. If you allow, or if you don't have the confidence to keep the ball past the ball and move forward with that ball at some sort of tempo, then the opposition, you give the opposition, this is why I say possession is 9/10 of the law, right? You give the opposition the ability to do what they want with you. They can counterattack you, they can push you, they can press you, they can... So... For me, you can't just say, "Oh, those two are they being left exposed because of Tomlin?" Because what you got to think is that we want to go forward, right? We're trying to move forward. We want to win and we want to attack. And the best form of defense is attack. So Tomlin is one of our best attacking players. So can I sacrifice him? Well, if I sacrifice him, then I'm really struggling for creativity and goals, right? So, I don't know, but am I getting enough out of my right back and left back position? Are my two centre halves solid enough? Can they defend one-on-one? Is my holding midfielder, is he athletic enough to cover the ground? You know, is Bakuna, who's alongside him, you know, often like a Charlton, when they both emptied the centre midfield, you know, that's inexperience for two boys with so much experience. So there's lots of other things, ways you can forget the... Not forget the Tomlin argument. I understand the question, but I flip it on his head and say, you know, no, I don't think we're getting enough out of other players we have to be then looking at Tomlin as the problem.
Yeah.
Because Tomlin has scored goals, created goals in the last 2 months that there's not another player in our team probably could have seen or created or scored. Maybe scored those goals. Højlund can score a worldie and what have you. But do you understand what I mean? They're not going to have that creativity. He gives you something different. And that's why you bought him. So then, right, it's no good buying him and then not playing in a system that suits him. You know, between Pack and Bakuna, having two sat in front of two. So you've got two centre-backs against one striker, remember? 9 times out of 10, one striker. And then two holes in front. That's a box of four. And you've got two full backs. That's 6. Plus a keeper, 7. You only leave him four for attack, mind.
It's brilliantly described.
Do you know what I mean? So it's not. It's no point. It's no point looking at Tomlin as the problem. There's so much more in other areas where we can do so much better, mate.
But to me, this is easily fixable, Blakey.
And it is.
People have a go at me saying there's nothing easy. They're not up to it. But I think. I think they can play higher up. I think Pack, as a result, plays further up the pitch. I think Etheridge throws the ball out to his fullbacks far more, who get forward more.
Etheridge plays a sweeper.
I think this is fixable. Mm-hmm. I do. You know.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you. Yeah.
Yeah, you need to evolve it with much with better personnel in certain positions, but I think it's fixable right here, right now.
I agree with you 100%. More compact. I agree with you 100%. I think the problem is. We've been, I think those players largely have been told for the last 3 years, this is how we play. And they are in, I keep saying it, they go back to the default position. All right? If I'm not sure, I'm just going to follow my man. All right? I'm not sure, right? I'm just going to pump it up towards Glatzel.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm not sure, oh, that's a bit risky in there and he's marked. That's a mindset, right? You've got to change the mindset, change the culture throughout, and stand. You know, it's about you as a person. You know, I've been playing football since I was 6 years old. Those boys have been largely the same. Listen to what I'm saying, fellas. I'm asking you, under a bit of pressure, to pass the ball 10, 12, 6, 15 yards. Under a bit of pressure, I'm asking you to move off the line, move into space, run with the ball, open your legs. I'm asking you as a fullback to pass that ball into that area, and if you see space in front of you, run into it.
Because just to take the question a little bit further on, you could argue without Tomlin, they'd be under even more pressure because he's the one player who does keep the ball and passes to a blue shirt.
So who asked the question?
Tim.
Yeah. But great question, Tim.
I hope
that helps you out.
Right, we'll move on to onto our predictions then, as we always do. And Mitch, as you are a guest of the show, I'll give you the honour of going
first. Be careful if you want to get out of the Super.
I'm on the right side of the door here. I went with the Swansea win last time. I was one of the few that actually felt confident for them. I was surprised at how lacklustre Cardiff were. I really didn't expect that. And there was
just remember, I'm going to put your picture up in the stadium before the game.
That's very
if you call it wrong.
I'm not going to be on one of
them. There he is!
I'm not going to be on one of them buses from the Liberty. But no, I think Cardiff will be a lot better this time around. There should be a lot more intensity, home fans as well. That said, I still think Swansea are playing the better stuff at the moment. I can see it being a draw. And I think a score draw as well, so I'd go low scoring 1-1.
Right. Paul?
I haven't got a clue, Glenn. I haven't got a clue. The double has never been done. That's just something about that fixture, as if you lose the first game, you just cannot lose the second game, whether you're Cardiff or Swansea. It just history tells us that. I was going to say 1-1 as well, because I'm sitting on the fence. I don't know. It wouldn't surprise me to see Cardiff sneak it 1-0 with a set-piece goal, but I'd probably veer to a 1-1 as well.
Blakey?
Cardiff 2-0.
2-0.
Mm-hmm.
That's a heck of a bold prediction.
Mm-hmm. Listen, when your back's against the wall, fellas.
I'm going 1-0 Cardiff now. I'm not having it.
3-0 Swansea.
I'm going to go.
No, let Blakey explain that.
Well, I take the point Paul made that there's never been a double done either way.
Yeah.
When your back is against the wall, and I think most of these players will be similar, there's only one place you can go, and that's forward, you know, regardless of what the outcome is. And I think Cardiff are in that position in this game particularly. And if the manager don't understand it, listen to this podcast and you will understand it, right? You've got one place to go. Otherwise, rain of fire is coming your way. And there's nothing none of us are going to say or do that's going to be able to change that. You can't lose. Let me tell you something, pressure. If you don't like pressure, come out the kitchen. But this is pressure, right? To say, I don't want to be the first man with that tag, even though he wasn't here for the first game, they don't want it to happen. No one at this club wants it to happen. No fan wants to see it happen. no player, former player, former anything wants to see it happen. So whoever's selected, understand, Neil Harris, you've got to win.
I don't want to bring a dampener on it, but I think it's going to be 1-1.
Well, 1-1, 1-1, 1-1. Everyone said 1-1. I think Cardiff go, and I think there's so much passion, there's so much... Don't forget, they've come off the back of a hiding at QPR and a very poor performance against Carlisle.
So Swansea.
Yeah.
Right? QPR anyway. Right, so to me, your best attribute is physical, just go and put it on them.
Mm. I'm going 1-0 Cardiff. Blakey's convinced me.
Mm. I just can't see that Cardiff defence keeping the clean sheet, but I'm sure we will see on Sunday. Thanks once again for all of your questions, and make sure you stay tuned at Wales Online.